Let's stand and let's open our Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. And we'll read both verses together this evening. It's only two of them. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I have bore him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you give us examples in Scripture. What a wise way to pray. Oh Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to have a heart that's responsive to whenever the Holy Spirit, oh Father, instills in our heart to pray. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you be with our preacher tonight. Oh Heavenly Father, I pray that you fill him with the words that will minister grace to our hearts. Thank you for him. Thank you for his family. And Lord, we pray that right now you give us hearts that are responsive. Father, submitted to the Holy Spirit of God, that when the Holy Spirit knocks on the door of our hearts, we don't resist him, but we submit ourselves to him. We love you, Lord Jesus, tonight. And we're longing to hear from you and from your word through the man of God which you brought to us. And we ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated. I will covet your prayers this evening. My voice, I know it may not sound like it, but it is there. And I feel like I've been preaching all weekend, which maybe I kind of have, but it was an enjoyable weekend, and I'm always glad to, of course, be in my pulpit to preach to you. Of course, our passage here, very interesting passage to me, this chapter we find in verses 1 through 8, you'll find further genealogies of the tribe of Judah. But verse 9 and 10 kind of spoke to me here. It's a name that piqued my interest, Jabez. You see, there's not much said about Jabez in the Bible. As a matter of fact, the name Jabez is found only three times in the Bible. First Chronicles 2:55, it's referred to as a city in Palestine. And then also right here in verse 9 and 10 of our text. Other than this, you're not going to find his name anywhere else in the Word of God. But there's a prayer here that he prayed. In studying, I was kind of studying this and just gleaning some information, all that I could about Jabez. His name means sorrowful or grieving. The Bible says, I'll read verse 9, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, 'Because I bear him with sorrow.'" So, of course, his name is sorrowful or grieving. The time of this prayer, and again, I was looking through some commentaries and different things and so forth, and it indicates that you find him praying as a young man, just as he was getting or setting out into the world, just as he was maybe going off into a career. He decided to acknowledge God in all his ways. Let me just stop and say this. You know, he was a young man. I think scripture or even just studying him indicates that. He was a young man getting ready to go off into the world, and what better position to be in but to pray for God's blessing before you go off and leave the safety of mama and daddy. You know, the greatest thing, teenager, you can do right now, young person, you can do is learn to get a hold of God. You know, if the sermon was all done right now, you could take that and chew on it for just a little while, teenager. Your preacher says the greatest thing that you could learn to do for your life from here on forward is you learn to get a hold of God. You see, your mom and daddy's not going to be able to get a hold of God for you. No, they'll pray for you. They'll go ahead and they'll beg God for a hedge of protection about you, to go ahead and do the will of God and to do right and take the things they taught you and instill it in you and so that you can become a good, honest citizen, so you can become perhaps a great church member or in finding the center of the will of God. But the truth of the matter is, the prayers of your mom and daddy aren't going to go ahead and last a lifetime. You yourself are going to have to get a hold of God. Your preacher's prayers, and yes, I pray for you, and I'm talking to young people here for a moment, and your preacher's prayers will not go ahead and last you for your lifetime. Young person, you are going to have to get a hold of God. And Jabez, as I believe he was a young man here, setting off into the world, you know what, he got a hold of God. What a prayer that he prayed. The Bible says in verse 10, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, I tell you, I think he was so sincere. I think he was just yearning, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it would not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Boy, I love it. He prayed and God answered it. Boy, I love that. Boy, that encouraged me that, you know what, if by the way, God is not a respecter of persons, and if he can go ahead and pray a prayer like that, I think I can go ahead and pray a prayer like that. And guess what? God's going to go ahead and listen to me. God will go ahead and answer. And maybe, by the way, I don't know, it doesn't say, and God granted him that which he requested. It didn't say that the next day he got granted the request. It doesn't say that next month he got granted a request. I believe maybe he had some persistent praying as a young man. I think it shows that perhaps he was a godly young man. I think maybe he was taught well by his mom and daddy. I think maybe there perhaps was godliness in the home. And this boy, young man, if you will, he learned to get a hold of God. But it doesn't say when he answered the prayer. God did. It doesn't say when God went ahead and answered. It might have been a year later. It might have been 2 years later. But you know what? There's a lesson right there. You know what? We just need to keep praying. You say, well, God doesn't hear me. You know, you keep on praying. And if you're insistent about it, get on your knees. And you beg God, God, hear me, he says. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. You know, if you want it bad enough, and if you've got a clean heart and a pure heart, hey, God will go ahead and listen. God will go ahead and listen. You know, in his time, though, he'll answer. But the Bible does promise that he granted him which he requested. He decided to acknowledge God in all his ways, putting himself under the divine blessing and protection of God, which tells me he was taught well. I mentioned a moment ago, he was taught about the Lord as a young child. You know, parents, you know, I can't stress enough, teach your children the word of God. You teach your children how to live right. You teach your children how to live right through this book. Teach your children the importance of prayer. Teach your children the importance of the word of God. Teach your children the importance of faithful church attendance. Teach your children. Teach your children. Teach your children. You know, I've seen it through the years in the ministry. I have seen young people. I've seen young people who've had godly mom and daddy that know that mama and daddy, God's mom and daddy, goes ahead and prays for them and faithful to church. And has devotions with them and talks with them and guides them about their Bible reading and different things. And I've seen these young people go off and do some mighty fine things for God. Let me tell you something. That's my desire for you, teenager. Mama and daddy, that ought to be a desire in your heart that your boy or your daughter or your child will go off and do something great for God. But you know what, mama and daddy? It's not going to just happen. They're not going to just stumble across the will of God. They're not going to just stumble across the desire to read the word of God. They're going to need to be taught by you. They're going to need you to go ahead and teach them. I think this young man, Jabez, he was taught well. It was as if this young man was handing God, as I was studying this verse number 10, as if this young man was handing God a blank piece of paper, telling him to write whatever he wants on it. Dear God, I give you this. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. God, whatever you want to write on there, whatever you want for me in my path, whatever comes my way, I'll help me to understand it's your will. Wherever you want me to go, help me to understand it's your will. God, if you want me to be a preacher, you just go ahead and here's a blank sheet of paper. If you want me to be a missionary to Africa, here's the piece of paper. And you go ahead and you guide it. If you want me to go ahead and serve the Lord in the church, hey, whatever, God, whatever you want me to do, here you go, God. It seems as if he was just handing God a blank piece of paper, just begging him to do whatever he pleases, writing whatever he pleases on it. In other words, he was submitting to whatever God would have him to do. And the text reads that with a most ardent and affectionate desire, oh, that thou would bless me. Oh, that thou would bless me. Young person, boy, you ought to pray that sort of prayer. You know, moms and dads, it's not, you know, God wants to bless you too. You ought to be praying that kind of prayer. Jabez was asking God, number one, in this prayer, I see that he was asking God for heavenly pleasure. Bless me indeed. Lord, I want your hand on me. Lord, I want you to lead me and guide me to wherever you want me to go. It seems he was so earnest and it seems he was even begging, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. It was talking of heavenly pleasure, I believe. It was also talking of heavenly prosperity. Enlarge my coast. Prosper me. Increase my influence, Lord. Enlarge my coast can equal to boundaries or limits, being limited to a certain sphere of influence. His desire was for his influence to be of a godly nature to where he could perhaps have more people to influence for Christ. That's what enlarge my coast is. You know, there were certain stakes there. And, you know, and as he grew as a Christian, you know, and as he was sincere in serving God, you know, he allowed God to go ahead and he begged God, enlarge my coast, and them stakes could be pulled up, and he'd go ahead and have a little bit more, if you will, a little bit more influence, if you will, simply because of him following the will of God and so forth. Let me tell you something, that's a good position to be in. You know what, when God can entrust you with so much influence, and if he wants to go ahead and pull up the stakes of your life, and because you're doing the will of God, because you are saying, thus saith the Lord, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll go ahead and do it. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go ahead and do it. However you want me to live, I'll go ahead and live it. Whatever you want, God. And when God sees that we are willing to literally place our faith and our trust in whatever he wants for us, you know, he says, you know, I can trust you with a little more space. I can trust you with a little bit more influence. You know, some of our influence is limited simply because we live in sin, or we don't trust God enough, or simply because we don't have the faith that, well, you know, I don't know. You know, that'll work in a Sunday school class. If you would go ahead and you'd ask God, Lord, enlarge my coast. You know, maybe God gave you a little Sunday school class, and he's given you a certain sphere of influence, but let me ask you a question, Sunday school teacher. Where's that class going? Are you happy with the status quo? Are you happy with just, you know, I got my two or three little boys, and that's fine, that's wonderful. And by the way, I think the small class is great, but the truth of the matter is, you know, you can enlarge the influence of that little son or that little child, or that little boy, that little girl. You can go ahead and enlarge the influence in that life if you would get on your knees and say, God, bless me, enlarge my coast, enlarge the influence that I can have upon a little child, upon a little teenager, or what have you. Enlarge the influence in my life. But so often, it's limited. We're so limited to a certain amount of space because God can't trust us with anything. He can't trust us with anything. Well, we ought to desire to go ahead and have a bigger influence. His desire was for an influence, ask for influence to be of a godly nature to where he could perhaps have more people to influence for Christ. What a prayer. I'd ask God to enlarge our coast, your influence, if you will. Sunday school teacher, ask God to bless it, your home. Ask God to go ahead and bless your home. You know, mom and dad, you may think that I can't have much influence. You know, I'm just kind of the average mom and dad, so to speak. I'm going to use this mic a little bit, red one. Whatever, you know, God can't use me. Preacher, you don't understand. This isn't working. All right, I got it. All right, I just can use the other button. All right, but where was I? Brother Joe, you interrupted my message, amen? All right. I love Brother Joe. It's okay, we can laugh tonight. It's all right. Brother Joe's back there laughing. Everything's okay, right? Thumbs up? Okay, making sure.
It's my deacon here, you know. He's the one that called, well, God called me here, but he had a part of it. Anyways, okay, where was I? But you say, preacher, you know, talking about a mom and dad in your home. You say, well, I have been limited. Maybe mom and dad, some of your influence has been limited because of past sin. Nothing you could do about it. Maybe you can't go as far as maybe what God would have had you to go, but you know what? You got your heart right, and you are going to church, and you know now what you want your kids to do. They don't want you to maybe follow the path, and I don't know of anybody, and I'm just using an illustration, please. But, you know now, well, you know, I lived a wicked life, and I know I'm limited to a certain degree, but you know what? Your influence can still be expanded through your children. Your influence can still be expanded through your children. Okay, so you blew it. So you messed up. So there's some things, you know, God might have wanted you to be a preacher or whatever, and maybe there's some things that fell along the way, and you fell into deep sin or whatever, and you got limited from being that. But by the way, let me just stop and say this. Don't use that as an excuse. You know, God still, let me just say this, mom and daddy. God still wants to use you. You know, we go ahead, and it's so funny to me, people go ahead and use their past as an excuse. I can't serve God. Yes, you can serve God. You can maybe drive a bus. You can maybe teach a Sunday school class. You can maybe go ahead and be a work with youth, if you will. You can go ahead and do several different things. God, there's still a whole host of things that you can go ahead and do for God. Don't you allow your past to go ahead and limit you from being what God wants you to be. You know, I see so many adults, they, you know why? They're unhappy because they're not really growing in the Lord. They're not going forward because they're in this mindset. Somebody sold you a bill of goods and said, because of sin in the past, because of something in the past, you know, you can't be used for God. Let me tell you something. Whoever told you that is lying to you. You know, I've heard clergy say it. I've heard clergy, okay, I'll just say it. You know, I heard clergy say it. I don't know of any independent Bible-believing Baptist preacher saying it, but I've heard people say, well, you know, you've done this. You're going to be limited. No, you will not be limited. Yeah, you're limited to maybe going for all the way where God wants, but let me tell you something. Don't you go ahead and listen to that bill of goods. Don't you listen to the devil whispering here. You know what? You did this. You can't be used of God. So, you know, therefore, you listen to the old devil. He says you can't, and you get yourself out of church. You get yourself out of the word of God and whatever, and so therefore you quit on God, and as a result of you quitting, it has done no good for your children. It's done no good for anybody around you, simply because somebody sold you a bill of goods because of a bad past. You can't do anything for God. Yes, you can do something for God. You can go ahead and learn to pray. You can pray harder than maybe any preacher. You can go ahead and come to a pew, and you can go ahead and shout amen when the preacher's preaching. It's okay. We can shout amen at Faith Baptist Church. I said just the other night, I know we're a northern church, but we can be a little more southern here. I'm not talking about Southern Baptist either. I'm talking about southern, where you can go ahead and we can, ladies, if you're too afraid to go ahead and say amen, just wave your little hanky. And I know what you're talking about, okay? You know, and some of you men, you know, you can say amen too. Amen? Amen. All right. Where am I? Where was I? But don't limit. Don't you go ahead, you know, all right, back to this point. I was on a little rabbit trail. I almost caught the rabbit, but I didn't quite, ran a little faster than me. But, you know, but don't let, okay, mom and dad or adult, don't let the devil sell you a bill of goods that you can't be used of God. You go ahead and okay, you know now what not to do. And if God has gone ahead and given you some precious children, now why don't you expand your influence through your kids? By teaching them what you don't want them to do, okay, things that you might have fell into. You know what, son, daughter, let me show you from the Bible why we don't do this. Let me tell you why you don't want to get caught up in drinking. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Let me tell you why you don't want to get wrapped up in smoking, because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you why you don't want to get wrapped up in drugs, and let me tell you why you don't want to get wrapped up in premarital sex and all that and so forth and so on and all this other junk of the world. And let me tell you something, why you don't want to get wrapped up in the rock music culture and the words they sing about the rebellion and all that. Let me tell you why. Because let me tell you something, that's not what God wants. The Word of God tells us by the way, the Word of God gives us and tells us what we ought to be listening to for music, and it's not rock music. It's not your contemporary music, and it's not any kind of music that they put Christian to. That's all kind of fleshly and breathy, and you know, they only say maybe God once, if that. But you know, the truth of the matter is, you know what, moms and dads, don't allow somebody to sell a bill of goods to you saying that you can't be used. You know, God still can use you. He can use you in the local church. You teach a Sunday school class. You drive a bus. You go soul winning. You come to church every Sunday. You say amen. You maybe clean the church, do whatever. And you take the children that you have, and you teach them the principles of the Word of God so that they may. Maybe they'll be the preacher. Maybe they'll be the preacher's wife. Maybe they'll be the missionary. Maybe they'll be in the center of God's perfect will because you taught them the principles of the Word of God. Hey, you know, you can expand your influence in your home. You can have God perhaps pull up the stakes of your life and give you more influence. Don't get too comfortable. Don't be comfortable with where you are. You know, we cease to grow, therefore not allowing the stakes of our life to be removed. You know, there's several Christians. I guarantee you, there's somebody here tonight. You could do more for God. You know, you could probably pray more. You could maybe read more Bible. You could maybe say, hey, preacher, I could teach Sunday school class. You could say, maybe I could drive a bus. You could say, maybe I could do this and do that and whatever the case may be. You know what? There are some things that you can do. You know, there might be a little bit more that you can tack on. I'm not saying bog yourself down. I'm not saying that. But you know, one of the greatest joys, you know, I find those Christians that jump in with both feet and they juggle the family, they juggle the job, but they make sure they're centered in a ministry somewhere. You know what? God, number one, gives them the grace and the strength to do it. And they're the happy ones. They're the ones that are excited. You know, they're the ones tonight that are excited to be in church on Sunday night. They're the ones tonight, they're excited. And obviously, you know, I'm talking to that crowd. They're the ones that's excited about Wednesday prayer meeting. They're the ones that's excited about the growth and different things and seeing boys and girls get saved, you know, simply because they're the ones that, yeah, they juggle a job. Yeah, they juggle a family. Yeah, they juggle the bills, but they're serving God somewhere. And you know, oftentimes we'll get kind of comfortable with our Christian life. If we're not careful, we'll get in that little comfort zone. And when the preacher goes ahead and asks you to go ahead and do something or maybe take a position in the church of some sort, some little ministry of some sort, say, well, I got to go ahead and pray about it. And you keep praying about it next month and the month after and next year. Hey, you know what? I want to encourage you tonight. Hey, allow a little bit more influence in your life, not just through your kids, but you allow God to do something with your life. Don't go ahead and limit God. It might be there's some experienced Sunday school teachers in here. God is just waiting to pour out a whole bunch of more influence on you, but you're comfortable where you are. You're comfortable in the position you're in. Oh, preacher, I come to church three times a week, and I'm glad that you do. And you keep on coming to church three times a week. And you keep on doing what you know is right. But let me tell you, let me ask you, let me just challenge you. Can you do a little bit more? I'm just challenging you this evening. Can you do a little bit more? I mean, let me ask you, let's look at it from a personal basis here. Can you take your prayer, your prayer list and your prayer life, and can you just go a little bit more? Can you take the Word of God, the reading of the Word of God, the Bible, and can you go a little bit more? Can you go ahead maybe, and this can happen. I know, I've seen it, and I've been there back years yonder ago. Can you go ahead and take your Sunday school class, and can you go a little bit more? I mean, can you enlarge your coast a little bit more? I mean, instead of being comfortable, well, you know, I got my three little boys and so forth. But let me ask you a question. When one of them three little boys aren't there, can you go a little bit more by calling them and saying, hey, I miss you, buddy? Hey, writing them a little note. Hey, I missed you, little Susie. Maybe going ahead and stopping by and visiting. Hey, I missed you, whatever the case may be. Can you go ahead and enlarge your coast that way? Sometimes we just get comfortable for right where we are. And we cease the growth. I've been talking, I know a whole lot about growth, a lot of my messages lately and on Wednesday night, but we cease to grow simply because we're not allowing God to bless. We're not allowing God to go ahead and do something in our life. And there is more that we can do. Can you go a little bit further? Can you go a little bit more in your prayer life, in your walk with God? And I want to challenge you that way this evening. You know, our church, we ought to pull up the stakes. Amen. You know, we can expand our influence. You know, and again, I remember talking to my preacher when I was called to by Brother Steve over at Mountain View to come preach. I was honored. I said yes. I didn't know what else I was going to say. I'm not going to say no. My preacher has taught me so much. And you say, well, boy, you use your preacher as a lot of examples. He's taught me a whole lot. And I trust him. And I hope that you trust me enough to trust someone that's served a little bit longer so that I can glean from. But I called him a preacher and said, you know, they want me to go ahead and, you know, another church in Massachusetts want me to go ahead and preach at this youth rally. Preacher, I told him, I'll admit, I'm scared to death. I was nervous. You know, I guess, you know, according to Mrs. Robles, once I hit my comfort zone somewhere along the way, I kind of let loose. I don't know whether that's true or not, but once I got my comfort zone, but the truth of it, I was a little nervous. And he said something along the same line that I'm teaching tonight, that I'm preaching tonight. He says, you know what? I'm glad you said yes. He says, number two, that helps expand the influence of your church. He didn't say, not you personally. But it does let people know that Faith Baptist Church is there. And so it's expanding our influence, so to speak. You know what? But our church needs to pull up the stakes so that we can go ahead and expand our influence for the cause of Christ. We ought to be reaching more people. I challenge you to be a part of reaching people. We need to be going door to door. And I talked about the Carver canvassing. I think that's so very important. And we passed the other night to go ahead and take on a little bit of extra so that we can, and I want you to be a part of this. We can get the little door hangers, the baggies, if you will. We want to put a John and Romans in it. We also want to put a little DVD of the ministries of our church in there. And we want to get some information about Faith Baptist Church. And we want to let Carver know it's happening, man. It's happening. We got something going on here. You know why? Because we ought to desire to enlarge our coast. We ought to go ahead and allow God to go ahead and do something. And if he sees us put forth the effort, you know, he might say, hey, you know, I could trust your church with a little bit more influence. So therefore, the stakes gets pulled up. And I hope he doesn't move it way out there because I get real scared, but he might just give me a little bit more. He might just give us a little bit more. And then when we get to a point, you know what? And if he sees us obeying and doing what he wants us to do, then we can go a little bit more. Hey, that's expanding our influence. That's enlarging our coast. You know, I challenge you to be a part of reaching people. I mentioned this prayer. The outline of this prayer, rather, is talk about heavenly pleasure. He says, bless me. Indeed, Lord, I want you to have your hand on me. Talks about heavenly prosperity. Also talks about heavenly presence. Bible says, verse number 10, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, that thine hand might be with me. You know, that's a safe place to be, having the hand of God being upon you. In everything that you do, keep him first and foremost. I've said it time and time again. You know what? We can't go wrong if Jesus stays number one. We've had, you know, and it saddens me, we've had more independent, Bible-believing Baptist churches that once got up, preached, thus saith the Lord, that once got up and just told it like it is from the Word of God, in a loving way, by the way. But we've seen way too many independent, Bible-believing Baptist churches go down the tubes simply because it got about them. That's what it did. They started investigating other ways to go ahead and grow the church. And so what they do is they say, well, we're going to go ahead and go from three services to one, and we're going to have one little sermonette and a whole bunch of drama and a bunch of contemporary Christian music, have a big concert and so forth, get a little bit touchy-feely, and just say, have a little sermonette there and say amen and go home. And you know what? People are eating it up. People are eating that up today. And let me tell you something, and you know what? I'm sorry, but that's just not the way I know this church was birthed, and that's not the way it's going to be while I'm here. You say, well, preacher, that's a little bit tough. Well, that's just the way it is. You know, we're going to go ahead and take the word of God. We're going to preach it as it is. I know, listen, it doesn't take much to figure out we're a King James Bible church. Where we were when we started, and that's where we're going to be until I die or whatever the case may be. You know, we're just going to keep on keeping on. And you know what? I'm just decided we're always going to keep Jesus number one. Let me just stop and say this. And if you want his heavenly presence, you want thine hand to be with you, you know what? Why don't you in your own life, mama and daddy, you keep Jesus in the first, in your home, keep him number one. You know, you keep him number one, it'll help keep a lot of the junk that comes across the box, the TV. I mean, if you're conscious that Jesus is there, and he is, and he's watching everything that goes on, and he's watching everything that goes on the television, and even our laziness, so to speak. And I'm not against television. I'm not against all that stuff. But the truth of the matter is, he's watching all the things that we do that replace our time with him. You know, and a lot of preachers just go ahead and say, well, you shouldn't have one anyways. But the truth is, you know, I'm not going to go that far. But you know when some of this technology and the screens that we may have put in front of us, you know when it becomes sin? Most of it, it's when we go ahead and allow that to dominate our walk with God. When we allow that to go ahead and replace God and the TV and the screens and the internet and the video games and the texting and all that goes ahead and replaces God. That's when it really becomes sin. Now, if you go ahead and allow other junk to go into your mind, you know what? Mom and Dad, you ought to have a control of that thing. You ought to know what your child's watching. And you ought to stumble through the living room and so forth every once in a while, or even into their room once in a while. You know, you, moms and dads, you can go ahead and scour your kid's room. It's okay. It's okay. They live under your roof. You can know what's going on. It's all right. Teenagers, I know you don't like that, but just hold on. It's okay. Breathe. You know, whenever I say stuff like that, you get the look. Move on, preacher. You know what? You know all that does is fuel the fire of a preacher. You know, you may as well, listen, you know, if you don't like it, you may as well just go ahead and smile and nod, and then that way, if the preacher goes ahead and sees it, you know, he'll kind of understand, you know, I can move on. You know, I'm just giving you a little advice if you want to keep the service moving, but you know what, but you give me the look, man. You know, that outline go a little bit longer. Anyways, I'm glad we're laughing tonight, amen? We can laugh tonight, amen? You know, people wonder, I know some may wonder, why do you preach this way? Because I care about you. I care about your children. I care about your families. You know, and maybe it's not always agreeable, maybe not, or whatever the case may be, but the truth of the matter is, at least consider it. At least consider it. At least you take the preaching of the Word of God and you come to and consider it and ask God what he thinks about it. You know, people may think, well, that's preference preaching. I'm not preaching preference. I'm preaching what I believe God has laid on my heart. But anyways, heavenly presence. Keep God in the forefront. We'll always do it here at the church. Get God in the forefront of your home. Then you see the heavenly protection. That thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. That thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. You get in the will of God, he'll protect you. You know, that's the safest place in the world that you can be. You know, through my years of working with young people, parents do such an injustice. If a child comes home from a youth rally or youth conference called of God to preach, or even more so if they're called to be a missionary, parents all of a sudden step in the way. No, you don't want to go to Africa. You don't want to go to that third world country. And you know, the truth of the matter is, parents, we're doing a terrible injustice to our kids when we step into the perfect will of God. You know, we only have them for 18 years. If we go ahead and we instill, you know what, if they come home from a meeting like that and they're called of God to go ahead and do a big job for God, you know what, boy, you ought to get excited that God looks at them worthy enough to go and preach the gospel somewhere. Boy, that ought to be a privilege. That, you know, I don't know if this is right to say, but that's kind of a star in your crown, if you will. You know why? Because your child, because you brought them into the Word of God, you brought them into the church, you got them into the Word of God by your faithfulness and so forth. And so what happens when they get called of God to do whatever, go into full-time Christian service, you go ahead and say, no. You don't want that. Now, you want a big career. You want to make thousands of dollars. You want this. You know, and all of a sudden you become God in their life. Let me tell you something, parent. Let me just plead with you. If your child gets called to preach or gets called to do something big for God or whatever it may be, don't you step in the way of the will of God. It's the safest place they can be. I can't tell you enough. It's the safest place they can be. Maybe it is Africa. You know what? That's the safest place that they can be if that's where God wants them. You know, Jabez asked for four things and got it. And God gave him what he asked for. You know, and if God, who's not a respecter of persons, he can give it to a sorry man like Jabez because his name means sorrowful and grieving, he can give them things to you. He can give it to you. Teenager, tonight, you're not going to be able to live off the prayers of your parents. Look, your parents love you, and they're going to go ahead and pray for you. That's the right thing to do, mom and dad. You're not going to be able to live off the prayers of your Sunday school teacher, your youth worker, or your preacher, and so forth. Though the godly church leader will go ahead and pray for you. They'll go ahead and get on their knees and pray for you throughout the week. But teenager, there's a young man here before he set off into the world, who got a hold of God. And God granted that which he requested. Moms and dads, just say this, we ought to be faithful tonight. You know, moms and dads, maybe your prayer life, maybe your walk with God's kind of wavering. You know, the truth is, mom and dad, I want to encourage you tonight. You know what? You also need to get a hold of God. You know, I said last week, it seems like I've said a whole lot behind pulpits lately. I've said last week that the church ought to be the ones producing the next preachers for the next generation. If we don't produce them, where are they going to come? The world's not going to definitely produce them. But you know what? Let me take that a little bit, a step further. But you know, it's the responsibility of the home, of mama and daddy, to be praying for their children that God would go ahead and use them wherever or whatever he wants. You know, it'd be good that our homes got back on track, keeping God in the focal point. Moms and dads, again, getting a hold of God. And standing in the gap, if you will, for your children. Because, like I said, you know, no doubt there's some here tonight, you're limited. You are limited because of certain past, okay? Nothing you can do about it. You move on, confess it, go serve God, continue to serve God where you are. But, you know what, you can get on your face before God tonight and every night. And you can go ahead and intercede on your children's behalf, begging them, God, you use my children, wherever, whatever you want to do with them, you know what? And by you doing that, that's going to, as I mentioned before, that's going to enlarge the influence, enlarge your coast. Parents, you know what? This matter about your children going off and doing right, which is a desire of your preacher, by the way. This matter of them going off and doing right and doing what God wants, you know what? It lies on your shoulders. You get up. You be determined where you go on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You be determined to open up the Word of God in the home. You be determined in your time to be praying for your children by name. You be determined, and God's going to look down and say, you know what? That mama and daddy really love their kids. I'm not saying any other parent doesn't, but they really want to see their kids. And God's going to look down and he's going to say, I'm going to use that child to whatever extent. And moms and dads, again, let me say this. When God answers the prayer that you prayed for your children, don't stand in the way. Don't stand in the way. As a matter of fact, you can get excited because he granted the request which you asked for. You know, the greatest thing we can do tonight, moms and dads, the greatest thing we can do tonight, Sunday school teacher and church worker, the greatest thing we can do tonight is be praying for the next generation. And you be an example of how you get a hold of God. And young people, Jabez is a good example to you as a young man, getting a hold of God and asking him for certain things, and God granted his request. Our Heavenly Father, very simple message, very practical. Lord, I hope it was. Lord, I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would work on hearts, whatever needs to be decided tonight, whatever needs to be done, may your will be done. May whatever decision by some young man, some young lady, whatever decision by some mama or some daddy, whatever decision by some other individual tonight, may it be dealt with tonight. I pray, God, that we won't quench the Holy Spirit's work right now. I pray, God, that we would take a hold of this prayer of Jabez and apply it to our hearts, and that as a result, that your protection and your prosperity be upon us, and as a result, we have a bigger span of influence. I pray, dear God, that you bless the invitation. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. I'm not really sure how to give this invitation tonight, but you heard the message. And whatever the Lord's speaking to you about tonight, whatever's on your heart, Holy Spirit knocking, whatever it is, you step out as the music plays and do business with God. I surrender all. Enlarge my coast. Expand my influence, Lord. Grant me your protection, God.